This is Dare to be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Frank Agin today. He is founder and CEO of AM Spirit Business Connections. He helps empower entrepreneurs, sales representatives, and professionals become more successful through networking. We're going to talk about business and personal success through networking. And he also shares his passion for developing professional relationships in a couples podcast, Networking RX and Networking RX Minute. Welcome to the show, Frank. How are you today?
Mari, I am doing great. I'm a little mad, though. You're in Southern California, and I'm in Columbus, Ohio, and it's probably 30 degrees here, and I know it's probably at least twice that you're at. So.
Oh, it's more than twice that. I'm going to make you very jealous. It's going to be like 86 today.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's perfect here. So let's talk a little bit about the story of how you came to do what you currently do, Frank.
Yeah, it's kind of a journey. Like I said, I live in Columbus, Ohio. I moved here in 1984 to go to law school. I've got a law degree and MBA from Ohio State University. Mm-hmm. From there, I went and got a job with a really big accounting firm as a tax consultant. And I joke about it. I tell people I hated it, and which is kind of an embellishment. But I wasn't passionate about it. It was a good job, good people, good pay, good benefits, good everything.
Yeah,
I just didn't want to spend my life in the tax code. So after about 6.5 years, which will tell you I'm slow but not stupid, I decided to leave. I went into private practice, and I tell people a funny thing happened to me when I went into private practice, and the funny thing is that nothing happened. I had no idea how to get clients. I was that bad actor at the networking event. But I had lunch one day with a friend who took a different path out of law school, and she started a firm, and I asked her what I needed to do to be successful, and she said you need to get into a networking group or a leads group or a referral group. So she threw a couple of introductions. She introduced me to a group of people that met every week to learn about each other. They developed relationships, and they exchanged referrals. And it immediately really resonated with me that I could – advance myself by advancing the people around me. It's easy to promote others, but it's hard to promote myself. And so that was the gist of it. Long story short, I became a franchisee in that organization, became its first franchisee, and then executed a buyout about 4 or 5 years into that experience. So I rebranded everything as AM Spirit Business Connections, and that all happened back in 2004 and just continued to roll forward since then.
Wow, that's great. So as you tell your story, and I see you going to these first few networking groups where you said that you were a really bad actor, what was the difference between those groups or how you interacted in those groups and the newer groups, like you could say the lead groups or referral groups?
Well, it wasn't so much the groups, it was my behavior. I was acting desperate. I was acting as if I was there to get things. Somebody owed me something, or not owed me something, but, hey, I'm here, I'm an attorney, or, you know, who do you got to send me?
Right.
And it doesn't work that way. And you learn when you're in these groups that you've got to listen to what other people are about, and you've got to try and help them, and then they'll try and help you. And that's just kind of the essence of networking, is that people, we want to help each other, but we want to help the people who are going to help us in return.
Right.
As well.
Okay, so that it was your attitude or your, you know, thinking about what networking was that changed. It wasn't the group per se. And I like that you say that you went in with the attitude of how can I help you, and that has really blossomed for you, obviously. So why are you so passionate about helping other entrepreneurs develop their networking skills and create professional and even personal relationships this way?
But I found that I was really good at helping other people. Even in the firm I was at, I was good at finding opportunities for other people in the firm. When I went into private practice, I was good at finding opportunities for other people. Mm-hmm. And I saw what that was doing for me. And what I wanted to do was, I guess, more or less share that gift, you know, share with people the techniques that I used to become successful through this process. And, you know, it's nothing saddens me more than somebody who has decided to become an entrepreneur or somebody who has a position as a sales rep, let's say, mm-hmm. and see them struggle, see them fail, knowing that it's just a couple little tweaks that make all the difference in the world. And I do enjoy helping people make those couple little tweaks to try and make it work.
Right.
And, you know, the saying is of a rising tide raises all ships. Well, if you help the people around you become successful, then they have better things to share. If you allow the people around you fail, then you're surrounded by misery. So you want to help mm-hmm. the people around you because that helps you, maybe not directly, but in time it helps you as well.
Right. So give us an example of a tweak or two that helps people be successful this way.
You know, that's a great question. There was a guy who was in the organization, and he is I'll call him a graduate of the organization because he literally got promoted in his company, and he's more kind of a higher level trainer figure and not really a salesperson anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But he would always lead with he was a coach, okay, and so he would always lead with, well, who are you coaching with? Who's helping you with your development? You know, just on and on and on. Always, you know, always asking leading questions. He knew where he was going. It always led back to something he could do. I remember the first time I spoke with him, he asked my assistant to answer the phone. And when he got on the phone with me, he's like, well, what are you doing to develop Amber? And it's like I knew where he was going right away, and it just was kind of off-putting. And so he continued this, and then at one point just sat him down and said, well, how is that working for you? And he kind of confessed. He said, well, not real well. It's, you know, I'm thinking about getting out of it. And it's like, well, what if you changed your script? What if instead of just trying to make a sale, looking at everybody as a transaction, is look at people as somebody that you can help, and, you know, through the information you have, the ideas you have. They might become a coach or a client of you, of your coaching practice, mm-hmm. or they might not, but just help them and see where that goes. And that little change really changed everything for him because he became more, you know, he became more approachable. People weren't, you know, lamenting the fact that he was walking in the room. It's like, okay, Dave's here. This is great. He's fun to talk to and he's got insights and he's always helpful to me. So
yeah.
That, you know, just a little tweak there.
Yeah. I like that. You know, when somebody comes up to you and says, who are you coaching with? Unless you're not coaching with anybody, it's almost like they're saying, shame on you. Why aren't you coaching with somebody? I mean, that's the way I would
right.
take it. And so it would be, you know, it would be off-putting. And I can understand that. So that's a great example. Let's talk a little bit about what role authenticity plays in all of this.
Well, I think with respect to networking, authenticity is really everything. And the example I like to use, I don't necessarily use that word, but the example I like to use about like just being yourself is I tell mm-hmm. people, stand with your arms out. You know, stand with your arms out parallel to the floor. Keep them there. You know, just keep them there. And, you know, you got to focus on keeping them there. That's the equivalent of being somebody you're not. You have to focus mm-hmm. really hard on doing that, keeping your arms up. Now put your arms at your side. You know, you don't have to think about that. It's just natural that they're there. It's not a lot of work. And it's the same thing with being authentic versus inauthentic. And when you're authentic, your arms are at your side, you know, metaphorically, you're relaxed. It's just who you are. And that's how you can kind of carry yourself long term. Holding your arms out your side or being somebody that you're not is something you have to continually focus on and continually work on. And it's hard work and you can never let your guard down. And it becomes stressful. Eventually people see the real you. And so just, you know, be a good person, but just be you. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, some people, they try to be uber serious because they feel they need to carry that persona. There's nothing wrong with joking around and laughing with people and getting to know them. Those are qualities that people like in others.
Yeah, I love that. I love the analogy of putting the arms out, because not only is it awkward and not only don't you have to think about it, it gets painful after a while. You know, it's not sustainable. And so I was thinking while you were saying that sometimes people make believe they're someone else, or they put on a show or whatever you want to call it, because they're not really self-confident about who they are and what they do. You want to speak to that at all?
Well, I mean, I totally agree with you that they're not confident in who they are. They don't feel like they're enough. And so they need to kind of put on airs. And I see this from time to time. I hear it from time to time. People will, you know, refer to themselves as a CEO, you know, when they're a one-man shop. People will talk about this seven-figure business that they have. And you really kind of have to wonder, seven figures, $1 million, that's a lot of money. And why are you telling me this? Why do I even need to know that you have seven figures? You know, and so you hear these things, and we've used the word a couple times. It's off-putting. It's like, okay, I know what you're saying is not authentic. I know what you're saying is not accurate. What else are you going to tell me that's not accurate? You know, so it really kind of goes to the heart of trusting one another, doesn't it? I mean, it's just you don't know. You don't know you don't know what's real and what's not real. And
that's correct. That's correct. We don't.
Be yourself.
Yeah. And I kind of have a philosophy of trust someone until they prove themselves untrustworthy. Maybe it's foolish or naive, but, you know, we can see the signs of someone who might be not trustworthy. But if we just go into, like you say, a networking meeting, for me, my biggest networking has been through my radio show, just meeting people, interviewing them to see if they're going to be on my show, et cetera. And just taking people at face value and trusting that until they show you they can't be trusted. So there's nothing for me more beautiful than being who you are. That was a big lesson for me through my life. I had to learn to be who I was. I didn't even know who I was anymore. I had to find out who I was and then be that person. And that's a wonderful way to live life, because you don't have to try so hard. And either people like you or they don't like you. You know, that's what I figured out. If you don't like me, it's okay. I don't need to be liked so much as I did when I was much younger. So,
yeah,
very good. So what do you think is the first step for a person who wants to be successful in business through networking? What's a good little first step?
Well, I think I think the quick answer, if you give me two, I think the first thing is you have to believe that it works. You absolutely have to believe that networking is going to work for you. You have to trust the process, because it may not be a quick thing. I see people who embark on networking, and you know, a great analogy is individuals who go to the gym on January 1st or shortly after the new year, and you know, a week in, they don't have six-pack abs, and so they're gonna give up on it.
Right.
And networking can kind of be the same way. It's going to take time. It's going to take time to make it happen. So you need to believe that it's going to work. Really, you just need to get started in it. You know, do something to try and become successful with respect to your networking. Just get, you know, whatever it might be. One of the things I tell people, a quick start to getting networking is go and volunteer. Networking is about adding value to the world around you, and being a volunteer somewhere is a great way to kind of immerse yourself amongst people who are also focused on giving to others. And you're all of a sudden rubbing elbows with people who've come out of a different corner of your community or the country, depending upon the organization you're with. And that just kind of puts you up on a pedestal as somebody who's, you know, willing to contribute to others. But just believe in the process, believe that networking works, and get after it. I mean, here's the question, you know, for the listeners. Think of something in your life that you have done all by yourself with the assistance of no one. And the answer is that nobody has anything in their life. It involved no one else. We all had help somewhere. And that's all somehow or another related to networking. And once you realize that, then you realize, okay, I've done nothing to this point on my own. I'm not going to do anything going forward on my own, so I might as well get out there and start networking.
I love it. That's really great, Frank. I love what you just said. We're going to take a quick break, and if you want to call in and ask Frank a call, you can start calling in right now. The number is 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Cesar Espino, real estate investor, business coach, and consultant, and author of the book, You Can Overcome Anything, Even When the World Says No. My number is 424-501-6046. In my book, I talk about making the necessary changes to shift your mind for prosperity and certainty. Pick up your copy at Amazon. I also love helping families with their real estate and can purchase your house fast and all cash. Follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. My number is 424-501-6046.
Quick question to you. Are you feeling the connection to your soul, or do you wish to improve that access and discover the power of your holographic mind and the quantum field? If you say yes to that, then join us at the Soul Awareness Retreat in Bali, right on the ocean side at the magical Shambhala Retreat Center. Come on an adventure of your soul with best-selling author Ilona Selke and Amareya. Find out more at soulawarenessretreats.com.
Hello, this is Calvin Evans with Exodus Adventures. We are excited to announce that we are offering online fitness training. So when you sign up, and you either sign up for 4 or 8 or 12 weeks, we have incentive trips for you when you reach your wellness goals. So sign up today at exodusadventures.com. That's X-O-D-U-S adventures.com. Thanks so much and have a great rest of your day. Take care.
Dr. Michelle Arhana is a relationship coach, author, and speaker. Dr. Michelle helps singles and couples emotionally heal, connect deeper through intimacy, and live authentically. Book your free session today at michellearhana.com. Wondering if he or she is the one? Need to reinvent your relationship? Go to michellearhana.com and purchase The Vows, a workbook for marriage success and understanding yourself. Don't forget to follow her on IG at michelle_r_hanna.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I have special guest Frank Agin talking about business and personal success through networking. So, Frank, there's something that you said before that I wanted to go a little bit deeper in. You said that when you start networking, it's not a couple of day thing, a 7 day thing. How long do you think a person needs to give this before they say this doesn't work?
Well, when I get out and do professional programs and talk to groups, one of the things I talk about is keeping after it. And I joke, and it's somewhat morbid, but I do joke, and I say, networking is really a lifelong pursuit, because at some point you have to have 6 people who are going to carry your casket. It's a joke, but it's true that it's really a lifestyle. I mean, networking is not something that was born of the 80s or the 90s. Networking is something that is hardwired into the human psyche. We have been – networking is just working together, and we as humans have been working together since we first walked the grassy plains of Africa. If you look at anthropology, we have helped each other through the years. George Washington met Betsy Ross at church. I mean, it was networking. So there's examples time and time again through history that, we work together, and it's something that's kind of an ongoing thing. In fact, there was a study that came out of Harvard. It was a multi-decade study, and they were looking at loneliness. And what is more deadly to humans than 15 cigarettes a day is being lonely. We as humans need other humans, and we just need to realize that. We need to realize that the people around us are our salvation. I'm not saying you have to go to networking events. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you have to do any sort of networking, but just or you know, anything that you would deem networking, but just being with other people in your profession one-on-one, doing things like that, you need those things to be successful. You need those things to be healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are all great points. And, you know, I also love what you talked about, volunteering. I never heard anybody talk about networking and say, go volunteer in your community. Go help somebody. There's all sorts of people there to meet. Plus, you'll do a good thing, right? So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When did you first subscribe to the volunteering thing? Is it something that you started doing early on and now you recommend?
You know, I think like so much in networking, at least for me, it was just, you know, it was the school of hard knocks. You kind of stumble on it. I tell mm-hmm. people that one of the worst referrals I ever got was somebody asked me, they said, hey, I got a referral for you. I was all excited. And they said, I want you to come speak to my business group. I'm like, ah. I'm thinking inside, I don't want to speak to another group. I need somebody who's going to pay me to do work, right? Not write a mm-hmm. speech. But this group was a group of business brokers. And it was, as an attorney, it was a great group for me to be involved with. I was too naive to see it. But I went out and I gave this speech and made some contacts, and they became good, you know, good connections for me. I got involved in that. I was involved in that organization for years while I practiced law. And so at that point, you start to realize, hey, wait a minute here. I need to get out there. I need to talk to other people. I need to be with other people. And volunteering was an easy way to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. It reminds me of the phrase, no man is an island. And I love what you said about that. We need each other. We do. We need each other. Through our lives, I mean, when we're born, we need our parents. We need someone to nurture us and care for us and teach us how to walk and talk and all that kind of thing. As we grow up, I grew up in a family where I was taught to be extremely independent. And so I had to struggle with allowing other people to help me, you know, and not wanting to do everything myself because no one could do it better than me. You know, that's one of the things that I suffered from. And so many of business owners do that. They don't want to even hire help or let anybody else handle it because they're afraid someone else is going to mess it up. But I love what you say about working together, because if we work together, we can get a lot more done. So that's fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah. What do you think is the main message, Frank, that you want to bring to the public?
Well, the main message is that networking works. It does work. It may not work exactly how you want it to work. In other words, you go to a networking function hoping you get a client or business,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
you end up with nothing, but somebody tips you off on that great vacation destination. Well, that's networking. It worked. Networking may not work where you want it to work. You may go to a networking event, nothing come of it, but be standing in line at the grocery store and meet somebody who could be a great business contact for you. Networking works. Networking works. It may not work when you want it to work. You go to that business function hoping to get something. Nothing happens. 3 weeks later, 3 months later, 3 years later, somebody you met there comes out of the woodwork and says, you know, I didn't need you then, but I need you now.
Mm-hmm.
So you just need to, you just trust that it works. And again, this is something that humans have done since the beginning of time, connected with each other, develop relationships, and things have come from it. So you just need to trust that it still works.
It still works. So just meeting other people, being friendly. What about the person who's really shy, Frank, who says, I can't go up to someone and start a conversation? I wouldn't know what to talk about.
Well, I think the key there is, and I get this question all the time, how do you make small talk? The key is mm-hmm. getting the other person to get them talking. Arm yourself with some questions. Ask people how they got into business. I have questions in my mind that I go through with people. You know, and no two conversations are the same, Mari, but that they are, they're all kind of kicked off the same way. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, where are you from? How'd you get into business and doing what you're doing? You know, and then from those answers, you know, it could be a million things. Well, I moved here from California because my wife's from here. Oh, okay. You know, where are you from in California? You know, then, or it might be something where they went to school. Oh, you must be a Notre Dame fan then. You know, and it
mm-hmm.
kind of goes in different directions. But you allow them to talk. So, you know, being introverted really doesn't matter. It's about giving the other person an opportunity to speak.
Good. I like that. Also, people love to talk about themselves. And when you show interest in someone, that they just perk up, you know. Even if it's as a cashier, you know. Yeah. Whoever it is.
Yeah,
they just perk up and they're like, wow, this person's interested in me. And not in a phony way, and that's what I love about you talk about authenticity, but in a real, I really want to get to know a little bit about this person way. Wow. So let's talk about how to get a hold of you.
Well, I think the best way to get a hold of me, well, a couple ways. One, I am on LinkedIn. It's Frank Agin, A-G-I-N, and I don't think there's another Frank Agin on LinkedIn. So you can connect with me through there, or I have a website, frankagin.com, which you can find my LinkedIn, you can find my email, you can find my Facebook, you can find all the things that I'm associated with, the books I've read, books I've written, so on and so forth, all there at frankagin.com. So that's another way of getting a hold of me.
Fantastic. And Frank is also on my website, lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com. Just go to my radio show page, and he's there with his picture, a link to his website, and a link to this interview. And he has shared so many great things about networking, just about meeting people in general. I hope that you'll just pass this interview along, because the replay will be available. So, Frank, is there one last thing you'd like to say to a listener that's on your heart right now?
Well, I will throw out there, if somebody is struggling, reach out to me. I would be happy to, give you some insights, and a lot of times it's just a quick little thing. You know, why don't you try this? You know, I was just talking with somebody recently, and we were talking about LinkedIn, and I gave her a litany of five or six things she should be doing on LinkedIn, and she said, oh, my gosh, I always viewed LinkedIn. It was just kind of a box that you checked. I have a profile. I'm out there. And that was all I needed to do. And you've basically shown me that it's a whole living community that I can access at any point. And so that was just a quick little conversation. So, shoot me an email. I might be able to answer the question in email, or just, over a quick conversation. Be happy to help if I can.
Very good. Thanks so much, Frank. Well, it's been such a pleasure having you on my show. Thank you so much for being here and for giving us all the wisdom you've gotten through the years, because like you said, it was kind of the school of hard knocks for you, but then we appreciate the fact that you went through that, and then what you learned, you're willing to give to us, and we can glean from that. That's really precious.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Okay, well, and thank you for listening in, and remember to pass this interview along. Lots of great tips, lots of great things to hear here, and welcome back to the next episode of Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Bye.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.